The client had 3 days, two colors, one storefront sign, and a budget that made everyone in the room go quiet. We thought the project was doomed. Then, the two-color limit forced us to remove everything except the message that actually brought people inside. The result was clearer, faster to produce, and more memorable than the version we had been overthinking for a week.
Wait, you are saying the limitation made the brief better?
I am. And I know that sounds suspiciously optimistic when you are staring at a deadline and a client saying, "Can you make it pop?" But a useful limit can do something inspiration often fails to do. It can tell you what decision comes next.
That is the part people need to hear. A blank page feels open, but sometimes it feels like standing in a warehouse with no map.
Exactly. So today, we are going to turn that warehouse into a staircase. We will use 4 questions. Who must notice this? What must they understand first? Where will they encounter it? And what can we realistically make with the time, money, people, materials, and tools available?
And I want to make sure we do not turn constraints into an excuse for boring work. A limit should sharpen an idea, not flatten it.
Good. Keep me honest on that. Because the goal is not to make smaller ideas. The goal is to make focused ideas with enough energy to stand out.
Welcome, dreamers, doodlers, and design disruptors to the Tools of the Imagination, the podcast where we crack open the sketchbook of creativity and reveal the brushes, pixels, and bold ideas that turn visions into victories. I'm Michael Wallace, founder of MG Wallace Design Studios, and your guide through the wild world of visual storytelling with your co-host, Wendy.
I am glad to be here, and I have a pencil ready. Although, Michael, I am going to resist opening the design software until we know what problem we are solving.
Please do. In each episode, we'll dive deep into the art of creating logos that don't just mark a brand, they ignite one. We'll unpack illustrations that leap off the page, transforming marketing magic into magnets that draw the right people straight to your door. Whether it's strategizing color palettes that convert, or sketching narratives that narrate your story, we're here to equip you with the tools to imagine bigger, design bolder, and connect deeper.
From behind-the-scenes breakdowns with industry trailblazers to hands-on hacks you can steal for your next project, this is your creative command center. So grab your favorite pen, fire up your tablet, and let's get those ideas flowing.
And today, the pen has a job before the tablet does. We are going to decide what the design is not required to do before we ask it to do anything impressive.
Yes. Stick around. Your imagination's about to get an upgrade. Start with this distinction. Some constraints give direction, and some merely create confusion. The audience is walking past quickly and needs to understand the offer in 2 seconds gives us something to design against. The client wants it to pop is not useless, but it is unfinished.
That unfinished phrase is where people often jump straight to fonts, gradients, and effects.
Right. Font choice feels productive because something is happening on the screen, but it may be movement without direction. Before you choose a typeface, ask who has to notice this. Not everyone. A real person in a real situation with a real reason to keep moving.
In a workshop, I sometimes make people describe that person without using the word everyone. They will say, "It is for everyone." And I say, "Gleet, which everyone is standing in front of the sign at 4 o'clock?
That question can rescue an entire afternoon. A neighborhood bakery might say it serves everyone, but the immediate audience could be a parent walking past at 3 in the afternoon, trying to find an easy treat before school pickup. A business consultant might say entrepreneurs, but the person actually making the decision could be a small team leader who needs a plan before Monday.
And the sketch changes. For the parent, I may need distance, speed, and one less decision. For the team leader, I may need structure and confidence rather than something merely cheerful.
That is the first rung. Write 1 sentence. This is for a person who is trying to do something but is currently blocked by something. It does not need to sound clever. It needs to give the work a human situation.
And if you cannot write it yet, write audience unclear.
That is more useful than pretending the audience is everyone.
Absolutely. Hidden uncertainty is expensive. Visible uncertainty can become a question for the client. That is one reason constraints help. They reveal what the brief has not decided.
Now, the second rung is the message. What must that person understand or feel first? Not everything they could learn. The first thing.
Hold on. What if the client really does have several strengths? What if speed, trust, local knowledge, and quality are all true?
Fair. I am not saying the business has to throw away three of those strengths. I am saying the viewer needs a front door.
One clear way in. But I am not sure I buy the idea that every brand needs only one message. Some brands reward curiosity.
I agree with the correction. The first glance needs one clear entry point. The deeper layers can still reward curiosity. So the question is not, what is the only thing this brand can say? It is, what invitation gets the right person to step closer?
That feels much better. One invitation, not one-dimensional branding.
Exactly. If the answer is faster, easier, more trustworthy, more local, and more distinctive all at once, you may have five campaigns competing for one piece of space. Choose the lead thought, then let the other strengths support it.
Try this before touching software. Pick an ordinary object near you. A mug, a key, a notebook. Imagine explaining its purpose to someone who can glance at it for only 2 seconds. What detail becomes essential?
For a notebook, the answer changes with the person. A student may need to see possibility. A project manager may need to see organization. Same object, different audience constraint.
And that is why beginning with a favorite style can be risky. You might love minimalism, collage, hand lettering, or dramatic illustration. Those are tools, not the strategy. The strategy begins with the person and the job. Then the style becomes the voice that performs the job.
The third rung asks where the idea will live. A storefront sign is not a social post. A handout is not a phone screen. The medium is not a container we deal with at the end. It changes the design from the beginning.
Because the audience behaves differently in each place. In a workshop, I have people draw a sign and a social post in the same minute. The sign usually gets too much copy, and the social post usually gets too little context. Seeing both thumbnails side by side exposes the problem fast.
That is an excellent test. A sign asks for recognition at a distance. A social post asks for a pause in motion. A handout asks for enough trust to continue reading. Same promise, different behavior.
So, the question is not, how do I resize this? It is, what does this format ask the audience to do?
Yes, a beautiful master image can still fail if it is asked to behave identically everywhere. Keep the central idea consistent, but let each format breathe. For a sign, prioritize distance, contrast, recognition, and a short action. For social media, prioritize the stopping moment, the first line, and the relationship between image and caption. For a handout, allow more reading, but keep the hierarchy obvious.
And do not forget the physical experience. A handout may be held with one hand while someone is standing in line. That changes how large the type should feel and how quickly the eye can find the offer.
Exactly. Design is not only what the file looks like on your monitor, it is what the audience can do with it in the real world.
The fourth rung is resources. What time, money, people, materials, and technical ability are actually available. Not what we wish were available. What is real?
This is where designers sometimes hide the limit or apologize for it.
Neither response helps. If we hide the limit, it returns later as a surprise. If we apologize, everyone starts treating the work as compromised. State the consequence instead. Because we have two colors and a short production window, I recommend a bold typographic system that stays recognizable across every format. That is not an excuse. That is a recommendation.
And if the client says, "But I wanted something more elaborate,"
I would ask what the elaboration is meant to accomplish.
More trust, more warmth, more recognition. If we know the job, we can find a simpler way to do it. A resource constraint does not end the conversation. It makes us discuss priorities.
That is a useful distinction for business owners, too. A small budget does not mean every part of the project gets equal attention. It means we decide where attention creates the most movement.
Yes. Maybe the strongest investment is one excellent storefront sign, because it reaches people already nearby. Maybe it is reusable social templates, because the owner posts every week. Maybe it is clarifying the offer before making a new illustration. The constraint helps us spend effort where it can actually change behavior.
Let us put all four rungs on one project. Otherwise, people understand the framework and then forget it when the client call begins.
Good. Picture a small neighborhood cafe called Northline Coffee. The owner says, "We need more afternoon traffic. We want something warm, modern, and memorable. We have a limited budget, and we need a social graphic, a printed handout, and a sign near the entrance." Reasonable starting point, but not yet a design direction.
I can already hear the first round of requests. A coffee cup, a pastry, a smiling person, a map, the hours, the menu, and a quote about community.
Exactly. Every item may be reasonable, and together they may become visual traffic. So who must notice? Let us say it is people walking home from work between 3 and 6, including nearby residents who want a comfortable place to pause.
That gives us a time window and a behavior. They are not just coffee drinkers floating through the universe. They are nearby, moving, and deciding.
Right. What must they understand first? Perhaps there is an easy afternoon offer, and stopping in will feel simple rather than like another task. The message might become, "Your easy afternoon pause is here."
I like that more than "come experience our community." It gives the person a reason to act now.
Then we ask where the idea lives. For the sign, maybe the words are simply "afternoon pause," with a short time range and the cafe name. It has to survive a quick glance. For the social graphic, we can use a more expressive line drawing and let the caption explain the offer. For the handout, we can add details and a small map.
The same idea is traveling, but it is not wearing the same outfit in every room.
Exactly. Now we have to choose a creative direction. We could build a warm color block around a cup and a small clock. We could draw one looping line that turns the word pause into a cup shape. Or we could use a doorway motif, suggesting that a comfortable break is just inside.
So the constraint is not secretly dictating one answer?
No. It is acting as a filter. Several original ideas can pass through it, but random decoration has a harder time surviving.
That is the difference between restriction and direction. Restriction says no. Direction says, try over here.
Now, add resources. We have one designer, 2 days, existing cafe photography, a modest print budget, and no time for a custom illustration library. That does not mean we make 3 unrelated pieces. We make one strong illustration, establish a color pair, and create a small system that can repeat.
And perhaps we choose the looping line because it can be drawn once, adapted easily, and still feel human. The resource limit is influencing the form, but not making the form lifeless.
Yes, that line becomes a visual behavior. It can curve around the headline on the social post, become a border on the handout, and simplify into a recognizable mark on the sign. You are not delivering 3 files that happen to share a color. You are giving the client a small visual engine.
I would still show 2 directions before committing, one with the looping line and one with the doorway. Otherwise, the client may think the first idea was inevitable.
I agree, with one condition. Both directions must answer the same brief. We are not presenting a random mood board and asking the client to pick a favorite color. We are presenting 2 possible answers to the afternoon pause problem.
And we can ask, which one feels easier for your customer to recognize from the sidewalk? That is a better question than, which one do you like?
Preference still matters, but it should not be the only evidence. I might say,
We designed this around the afternoon customer who is already nearby and deciding whether to keep walking. The short message reads quickly, the warm visual creates a sense of welcome, and the idea adapts across the sign, social post, and handout. That gives you consistency without forcing every format to behave the same way.
Notice how careful that language is. You are not claiming, customers will definitely love this. You are explaining the choices and the assumptions.
Exactly. We can say, this is the audience we are prioritizing. This is the behavior we want to support. And this is why the design is built this way. That gives the client something concrete to respond to. If they disagree, we can revise the assumption instead of fighting about taste.
Let us do a faster example. Say the client is an independent repair shop. They have 1 week, almost no new photography, and want to look trustworthy without looking old-fashioned.
Good. Audience first, perhaps owners of older vehicles who are nervous about an expensive surprise. Message, clear estimates and honest guidance. Medium, a roadside sign needs a few words while social media can explain the process. Resources, existing shop photos, one color accent, and a week.
A visual route could use a simple inspection checklist, not a shiny sports car. That might be less glamorous, but it speaks directly to the worry.
Exactly. Or we could use a clear line that moves from a question mark to a check mark. Two directions, same strategic center. On the sign, perhaps clear estimates, honest repairs. On social media, the same promise can lead into a short explanation of what happens during an inspection.
And the resource limit keeps us from pretending we need a giant campaign. We can make one useful explanation, one recognizable visual behavior, and a few adaptations.
That is the business value. A system lowers production effort, protects scope, and makes repeated communication easier to recognize. The design is not just attractive, it helps the client keep showing up consistently.
I want to add a workshop habit here. Do not critique the polished version first. Critique the roughest version that can answer the question.
Yes, a pencil thumbnail can reveal whether the message works. A grayscale block-in can reveal whether the hierarchy works. A quick phone preview can reveal whether a social graphic survives a small screen. Constraints are cheapest to use while the idea is still rough.
That phrase is worth underlining. Cheapest to use while the idea is rough. People often wait until the final artwork to discover that the headline is too long for the sign.
And then the constraint feels like a crisis. If you find it in a thumbnail, it feels like information. You can shorten the headline, change the format, or adjust the promise before hours of polish are attached to the wrong direction.
Let us make this participatory. Grab a sticky note, a scrap of paper, or just picture three boxes. Label them sign, social post, and handout. Put the same three-word promise in each box. Now cross out anything that only works in one format.
Then ask what remains. Is it a phrase? A shape? A color relationship? A way of framing the image? That remaining element may be your visual behavior.
For Northline Coffee, the three-word promise might be easy afternoon pause. On the sign, the words need to be huge and calm. On social media, the line drawing can create the stopping moment. On the handout, the promise can introduce the details. We are not forcing one layout to do three jobs.
And if the three-word promise does not fit any of the boxes, that is a clue that the message is still too vague.
Exactly. You can test the latter with questions instead of design vocabulary. Who is this for? What should they understand first? Where will they see it? What do we actually have? If you are a business owner, these questions help you give a designer a better brief. If you are a designer, they help you ask for the information you need.
And if the client says, make it more exciting, ask where the excitement should happen. In the headline, the color, the image, the offer. That turns a vague adjective into a conversation.
When someone says, make it feel premium, ask what premium should help the customer believe. Quality, confidence, care, exclusivity? We do not have to reject the word. We have to give it a job.
That also prevents the usual panic response, where premium becomes a dark background, a thin serif, and a lot of empty space, whether or not that fits the business.
Yes, a visual style can become a costume if it is not connected to the audience in the job. Constraints help us ask whether the costume is helping anyone recognize, understand, or act.
Let us revisit the blank page problem. Why do unlimited choices create so much drag?
Because every choice stays alive. Every color could work. Every audience might matter. Every layout can be defended. And every revision reopens the entire universe. A thoughtful constraint closes a few doors so you can notice the doors that are worth opening.
But we should say clearly that not every limit deserves obedience. A client may ask for a format that makes the message impossible to read, or a deadline that creates avoidable risk.
Absolutely. A constraint can be clarified, challenged, or replaced. The latter is not a rigid fence. If the medium cannot support the message, we discuss the trade-off. If the deadline makes quality impossible, we identify what must be reduced. The purpose is not to obey every restriction blindly. It is to make the consequences visible.
So a useful constraint makes the next decision easier. An unhelpful one just makes everyone nervous.
That is the test. If the limit does not help you decide, ask whether it is specific enough. Small budget becomes useful when you know what the budget can cover. Busy audience becomes useful when you know how much attention they will give you. Make it modern becomes useful when you define what the audience should feel or believe.
Now take your own project and give yourself 5 minutes. In the first minute, describe the person and the moment. In the second, write one sentence about what that person should understand or do first. In the third, list the formats and the attention available in each. In the fourth, list your real assets, time, budget, and skills. In the fifth, choose one visual behavior that can travel.
If you are doing this with a team, have everyone write privately before anyone critiques the first idea. Otherwise, the first confident voice can become the constraint for everyone else.
That is smart. Then ask for 3 possible responses to the same brief. The audience and message stay stable, but the visual direction can change. One may use type, one may use illustration, and one may use a surprising metaphor. Compare them by asking which is clearest, most memorable, and most realistic to produce.
That keeps the process exploratory without letting it become endless.
Exactly. You can still be imaginative inside a frame. In fact, the frame may give the imagination something to push against. A tight crop, a limited palette, a single repeated shape, or a short phrase can create a point of view that a limitless composition never finds.
And when the client asks for more, we can ask whether they mean more options, more information, or more emotional energy. Those are very different requests.
Yes, that one question can save a lot of decorative work. More information may require hierarchy. More energy may require contrast or motion. More options may require a separate exploration phase. We do not have to guess.
I also like that the latter gives business owners a way to understand what they are paying for. They are not just buying a picture. They are buying decisions that help the picture work in the real world.
That is beautifully said. The work connects attention to action. The audience constraint helps us find the person. The message constraint helps us earn the first moment of understanding. The medium constraint helps us design for real behavior. The resource constraint helps us deliver something sustainable.
Let me try the recap without making it sound like a classroom poster. First, find the person and the moment. Then choose the first idea they need to understand. Then respect the place where they will meet the design. Finally, be honest about what you can make.
That is the latter in plain language. And then use the answers to make decisions, not to decorate a planning document. If the audience is unclear, ask. If the message is crowded, prioritize. If the format is wrong, adapt. If the resources are limited, focus the system.
give the limit a job.
Yes. Instead of saying, the budget is small, ask, what can one strong asset accomplish? Instead of saying, the deadline is tight, ask, what decision must happen today? Instead of saying, the format is awkward, ask, what does this format allow that another one does not? That shift changes the emotional temperature of the work.
And it gives you something to bring into the next client conversation, instead of bringing only a feeling that the project is difficult.
If you would like a reusable planning sheet and additional templates, you can register at mgwwstudios.com/submit. Registration gives listeners access to the template library. You can also visit mgwwstudios.com to explore the work and resources from MG Wallace Design Studios. No pressure, just a practical place to continue the exercise after the episode.
Bring the four answers with you. They can turn a fuzzy request into a shared starting point.
Next time, we will explore how a rough sketch becomes a visual system without losing the energy that made the original idea exciting. Until then, remember that imagination does not disappear when the page gets smaller, the deadline gets closer, or the question gets sharper. Sometimes that is exactly when it shows up.
And that's a wrap on today's dive into the tools that turn sketches into success stories. Remember, whether it's a logo that lingers in minds or an illustration that hooks hearts, your imagination is the ultimate canvas. So pick up that brush and paint boldly.
Take one constraint with you. Give it a job, then see what it helps you discover.
Thanks for joining us at the Tools of the Imagination from MG Wallace Design Studios. If this sparked something in you, hit that subscribe button, drop a review, and share it with a fellow creator who needs a creative boost.
Until next time, keep designing, keep dreaming, and keep imagining what's next. I'm Michael. See you in the sketchbook.
Imagine boldly. Design brilliantly. Connect creatively.